Hey, Unchained listeners. As you know, it's hard keeping up with the fast-paced world of crypto, so we've got just the thing for you. Subscribe to our free Unchained Daily newsletter at unchainedcrypto.substack.com. You'll get the latest crypto news and original articles from our reporters, as well as summaries of other happenings in bullet points, plus our meme of the day, all curated and written by our amazing team. It's still your no-hype resource for all things crypto, just in newsletter form. Sign up at unchainedcrypto.substack.com. Again, the URL is unchainedcrypto.substack.com. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Unchained, a podcast engineered by Fractal Recording and produced by me, your host, Laura Shin, a senior editor at Forbes covering all things crypto. Thanks for tuning in. If you've been enjoying this podcast, please help get the word out about the show. Share it on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or on your secret Slack and Telegram channels. And if you have a chance, please give the show a rating or review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Big thanks to our sponsor, OnRamp. If you're having an ICO, a token sale, a token allocation event, a token generation event, or whatever you're calling your offering that passes the Howey test, you need a website. Check out OnRamp. This full-service creative and design agency provides its clients with attractive and persuasive branding, websites, and marketing materials. Spark interest in your project. Generate buzz. Check out thinkonramp.com. I am recording here on Sir Richard Branson's Necker Island, which is where the podcast was born a little over a year ago. I'm here again for the Blockchain Summit, which is hosted by the Bitfury Group and Bill Tai, who was a guest on the podcast last year and whose amazing episode you should definitely check out. This year's summit is where I met today's guest, Roya Mahboob, a serial entrepreneur and president of Digital Citizen Fund, Digital Citizen Brew, and Eddy. And in 2013, she was named one of Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People in the World. Welcome, Roya.
Thank you, Laura, for having me here.
So, Roya, out of all the Bitcoin entrepreneurs I've ever interviewed, I would say you have the most different and most inspiring story.
Thank you.
And you're also using Bitcoin in one of the most different ways. So you're originally from Afghanistan. How did you get your start with technology?
Well, at age of 16 years old, I heard about that there is a box, that a magic box that you can touch and you can connect with the world and you can ask any question that you want. And then also you can talk with the people without meeting with them and they are ready to answer your questions. So for me, at age of 16, I hear that there is Internet Club just open in Herat, and I went there, and that's for the first time when I used the internet and used the computer, and I found out that there was a new world outside waiting for me to explore it, and that's what everything's changed for me. From that point on, I decided to make technology the center of my career.
So what were you doing back then? Like, was it just like you were Googling questions or what?
I mean, before the using the computer or...
Yeah, like when you started.
I was Googling. When you put any info, like any words, you could get thousands of, news, or you could get a lot of the articles. That was very interesting because at Herat in 2003, the Taliban just left it, and it was very limited books in the library, and it was very old books, and then mostly coming from Iran, and then we didn't have any updated information, and it was for me fascinated that this small boxes we can find any information. Thousands of the books or millions of the books are available.
And did you speak English at that time?
No, it was in Farsi. You could also find a lot of information, but I learned English actually through social media. Through chatting, I hear that there was a Yahoo Messenger. You could go to the public and then you could chat with the people. And for me, it was interesting, but I was very shy and very unconfident person. But when I started chatting with people, it's increased my confidence. And I learned more, and I tried to learn, and I was had a book that to checking the words and in English, and I can write. So that's how I learned.
Wait, are you serious? Like, did you have any formal education in English?
Not that much. There was like some books that were available, but later on I had classes in our university that I took it because we had we were lucky and we had the German as our teacher. So the only way to communicate with our teacher was English.
Oh. That's amazing. I'm so impressed with that. So then you also started a company at a young age. How did you come to start your first company?
Well, I started working in writing with the IT coordinator for 3 years. And then I went to move to Ministry of Higher Education and work as IT project manager of the IT departments. And then at that time, I met with Paul Brinkley and another squid. He was on the Secretary of Defense at that time. And
An American, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they were coming, and then they had a concept to bring building a technology centers in Herat, and that we were discussed about that. And but at that time, I say, okay, we created a lot of the software, and it was mostly free, and we showed those software and applications to a team that he brought from Silicon Valley, and everyone is encouraging us. And then we said that why we don't make it a commercialize, and then that's how I started against the software.
Oh, interesting. Wait, you developed it for the ministry, but then
we developed it for university and ministry. Oh. But it was a team of the girls mostly, and also there was boys as well. But we built most of the educational software free and giving to the public. So we didn't tell at that time that maybe we might be able to make it commercialized and make money. But then when they came and they're discussing about big projects, and then that's why we don't start it. And then I started my first company, and at the same time, Task Force for Business of Sustainability Operation, they built an incubator in Herat.
Okay, and then who was it that
Task Force for Business of Sustainability Operation.
Okay.
It was a program by DOD of US.
Department of Defense.
Yeah.
Okay.
They built the first incubator in Herat, and they brought IBM and Google, but the IBM were the IBM advisor mentor were reminder. We were I was one of the seven companies that we were in that incubator.
And what did your company do? And what was it called?
It was called Afghan Student Software. Before that incubator build, we started to working in the coffee shop and restaurants because we didn't have a place to work. And my work was we provided services in IT infrastructure, procurement of the computers, building the networks for universities, and then also we building the software or giving the consultancy on the applications.
So like IT services?
Yes, IT. Full okay. IT services for... ICT service.
And how old were you when you started that company?
I was 23.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yes.
And who were your investors and clients? Like, how did you find business?
I was trying first to working with the U.S. government, and then it was good working with the U.S. government. We could make money with the contracts, but the problem was that the people were conservative, and because we were mostly female engineers today, they didn't like that we work with them. So they started to rumors and giving our names to the local Taliban and conservative leaders. So we decided to work on the government, Afghan government's contracts. But then the other problem was the Afghan government contract was that based on the law, women could participate. But once you get a contract, they make your lives like a hell to paying your payments. So well, my biggest problem was the corruption that was exist at that time and many of the contracts with the government. And then the other problem that I had, it was that they don't pay on time.
Well, I want to go back earlier when you were saying when you were trying to get private clients, they were giving your names to whom again? And
No, the private clients didn't give us our names. I mean, when I was starting working for the U.S. government for some of their contracts or NATO, so then conservative and the people who didn't like that, they're giving our names to the local Taliban and informed them that, oh, these people, they are women, they are working with military. So that was...
But what was the purpose of that? They're giving your names to the Taliban?
Because to send the threats to us. And they didn't want to work. Yeah. Like the threats, or they were just telling you that you shouldn't work with them, or you are not anymore Muslim. So they're making a lot of names for you. It wasn't only that you work for the U.S. government. Also, it was the broader problem was that if you work with a man outside, it wasn't at all acceptable. And I was the first, when we started in technology, we were the first company as a female. And I was the CEO, but we had also male co-worker. But the problem is that it wasn't a problem, but it was a problem for the society of conservative and male-dominated that many of my employees were women. and the young girls. So that wasn't acceptable if we're giving handshake or we work with it, we go to the military places and became everyone's making like a lot of rumors that, oh, they never like mentioned that we were get those contracts or if we work because of our ability, because of we have to keep, like have the ability and we have talented to work to get this, they make it rumors, oh, they do blah blah, that's why they get the contract. So they make it, that rumors was created, was danger for our reputation and as well to living in that conservative society.
And you also mentioned that they put a spy in your company.
It was after that I became as a Time 100. They started to put in a spy in my company because my company grew very fast, and then I started to hire a lot of the women and also the men to working inside of my company and also work online for me. And then my competitors that didn't like that, and they are mostly we call them mafia of IT industry because they get the most. At that time, they got all the biggest contracts in IT. So they put it on the spy to giving information of my whatever I had in projects for what I'm doing, and everything is outside.
Wow. And also the government, it sounds like, was making things difficult for you. So how did you solve these problems?
Well, it was very difficult because in governments at that time, it was like it was elections going on, and then a prison care didn't sign the agreement. Former prison care ADT didn't sign the agreement. The security wasn't that good. It wasn't only for my company, it was for many of the companies at that time. They had the challenges of very difficult times with the government. And the problem with the government, they didn't support my work. So that was the biggest challenges, because when I went to complaining and asking them to support, they never like really very supportive of to help me at that time.
And you also mentioned during the summit that your employees were even attacked. What happened?
Well, when it was in 2012, I backed that. Why? What's this? What's happening? After then, I did a contracts. What was a contractor? Then I pushed back by society because they started to make rumors, and then they also put they broke in our window of our office, and then they sent threats in my house, and then that's I moved to Kabul, and then I decided my team were in Herat, but I decided to be staying in Kabul to not only to be more safe, but also just because Kabul was a bigger place that we could find the clients. And then I decided that, okay, I should not be rely on the contracts anymore, and I shouldn't be rely on the private sectors that they don't want to work with the women. And I decided to become a social citizen and using the advantage of the free market and finding the clients outside of the border. So that's why I reached out through the LinkedIn. Someone's invite me to the LinkedIn to create an account, and I went there and I said, oh wow, this is a great place. I started to find the clients there, and that was lead me to find an investor there. That he was Italian American, lives in New York. We never met, and he contacted me, and then we discussed about different projects, and then he interested in one of my ideas and one of our projects, and he invested. And then that investment helped me to make money with advertising and network. And then that's what traffic. And then I decided to giving back to the community. So when I started giving back to the community, we building the IT centers inside of the schools, and then we're teaching the girls about how to work with the computer.
And is all of this the Digital Citizen Fund?
Digital Citizen Fund, yeah. Now they are all moved to under the Digital Citizen Fund umbrella. At that time, my company building with the profits that we made at it with the platform called WomanX.
Okay, but keep going with how you were doing that. You were building these education centers.
So, I mean, at that time, I feel that, okay, I mean, I could overcome lots of the challenges, and it's because of the technology and internet. It's helped me to not connect to the border of country of domestic life or a country that some people can make a decision about my life or my company. And I overcome a lot of challenges and struggles that we had. And it's also break down the barriers for me. But I know that there are still many obstacles who are outside. They're just like me. They're curious but giving no vision to explore the world. They wanted to know more but they don't know what's truly possible for them. And that's why I decided to give back. And I talked with my partner and my business partner, and he was totally agree. And then he says, and he said, I send 50% of your profits, it was 100%. To building the centers. And that's how we started to building the IT centers. We first started with one schools. We're building one IT centers for them. And we got a lot of the positive and see the girls. When I see these girls go online for the first time, it always break the memories of the first time I used the internet at in a cafe in Herat. You could literally see the changes in your face. These women and girls, they have their entire life just talk with close relatives and the family member. And they said that they are connected with the world and they have a digital voice. They have a voice to talk about their stories that no one wanted at that time listen to them. And the other thing is that these women and girls, their entire life depending on the men, and for the first time with the skills of the technology, with the skill of the internet, they feel the financial independence. And this is has the power how the conservative nations can change their view and on the women. So when I started this building these centers, we also started to provide a training for them. And then we said, okay, they're learning, so what's the next? Finding opportunities to find a job for them. So the platform that we built it with Francesco was called Women in X. It was a technology that allowed the women to write blogs and upload movies, and they're working online. And we pay to those who write the original content and better content. We paid for some of those, some of the content provider for. And that's lead us that that we can keep continue. And then at that time, I had hundreds of people who started working for me online. And then we had built two offices, one in Herat, one in Kabul. And then we started to hiring people, not only from female, but also from male, that they do all marketing. It was easier to do it to men, to go to work with the private sectors and talking easier than the women to deal with them. So that's how I started to work.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And I actually want to go back to when you stopped working with Afghan companies and the government and found your own citizen or your own clients outside. Where did you find those clients?
Mostly through LinkedIn.
Right, but like what countries? And
mostly was in America. And then the good thing is that when I found this my business partner, and he started to, like, when he was in my company, in my idea, we shift our contract base to only focusing on working on that platform, WomenX, and develop the software. So we shifted
so
it later.
So eventually it was just the blog. Okay.
Yeah, and then that platform is make us enough money that we keep continue.
And the money you were generating revenue from ads?
It was from advertising and ad network and also the traffic. We got 6,000 of the public domain and also some from private filmmakers donated in our platform. So we created, generated views, and then that's, we had like 2 million some of the month, and then we had also the months that we had 5 million viewers that they came to our platform.
Great. And I actually just also wanted to ask you about your family. Did they fully support you in all this, or did they also have reservations?
When I was started, before I started my company, my family, my father was very open-minded, and that's why, I mean, he was very supportive of what I do. My mom as well. And then my brother were at the beginning conservative. I mean, of course, they were living in conservative and very male-dominated country, and that's why they were at the beginning not happy, but when I started to social media really empowered me, and I started to talk at the home and then giving the ideas. At the beginning, you know, I started ignoring whatever I had an idea, but later on they started to think differently. And then it's very, very important when you're living in such conservative societies to have support of the family. If I didn't have the support of my family, I wouldn't be able to do any of these things. Of course, I motivate my family. I involve with everything they did. And that's why they keep continue to support me. And when where there was a time that the neighbors and the men and our Herat community, they came to my father and they told that they have to stop me. He has to stop me. He had to stop me because I am dishonored the family. I am working with the military. I'm working with the foreigners and I'm taking pictures. It's not good for a Muslim woman.
Wait, I'm sorry. Who was this that came to your family and said that?
Our society is different. The community members are like the shura or the people that they know my father. So they reach out to friends of my father and the people who work, my father worked with them. So they came and they told my father he has to stop. And it's otherwise I might be end up to be very bad, like very dishonoring the family. So they have to stop it now.
And what did your father say?
My father says that he said that he fully trusts me and he knows what I'm doing and he involved in everything and he won't stop me and that's why I keep continue. But of course, at that point when I receive attacks and as well, it wasn't a good time to stay in Herat, so that's why I left to Kabul.
Okay, and then. Is it at Digital Citizen Fund that you were having difficulty paying your users?
It was with the Women and X platform. So that's we had difficulties because when the number of user increased, and then we had a problem of paying the students. And many of these female students didn't have a bank account. I mean, almost 99% of them didn't have a bank account.
And why not?
Because based on the law of Afghanistan, women can have a bank account when they become 18 years old. But based on the culture, it was mostly cultural barriers. And many of the family, they didn't believe on the banking system. Or still, even it's not about the female, I guess that maybe only 30% of the Afghans trust the bank. They're still using the hawala system. I don't know if you hear about hawala system. Hawala system is started in the 8th century. It's for many years was the only way trustful transfer of the money. So it's like I trust someone and then I give the money to this person and this person knows the another person's to, and then that person, he called that person to give a code to that person and that person gave the money to others. It's like,
oh my god,
it's a it kind of like a similar to Bitcoin, but it's not like really
right.
But it's kind of at that many still in Afghanistan and many other countries are still using the hawala system.
It's like an 8th century Bitcoin.
Yeah that they call the Bitcoins as a 21st century of hawala system. So that's
hilarious. Love it.
Yeah, and then the problem that, and then there was also other issues that the women, the banking system, they have to go to the bank and register. They have to have every of like documents and they have to have permission of the families, and family didn't want to open a bank account for them. So it was a lot of the struggle that we had. And then we decided to use a PayPal account, and PayPal didn't work in Afghanistan. And then we decided to use mobile money. It was a pesos. And then the problem with mobile money was if we send the money, it still was expensive because the receiver and transfer still cost the money. So if it wasn't very affordable that we send it through, and at that time it wasn't really worked. They had this concept for years through USAID program, but at the time that we wanted, they didn't really implement it in a way that we could use it. So we were just looking to find a base because the number of users get increased, and we didn't know how to paying these employees. And for me, it was difficult because the money came to my bank account, and then it was also dangerous for me because if people find out, oh, she has a lot of money,
right,
and they keep not paying, and stealing the money was exist. And every time that I went to bank to get the money to distribute it, I had to brought my brother, cousin, and also my other male employees to go with me to the bank to get the money, and then we go together because it was difficult. And then the other problem was with the money is when you distribute the money, we didn't only had the female who write the blogs, but we also had some male. But some of them, especially from male, they get the money, and then they came back again and didn't deny. And you show them the signature, and they said, this is not my signature. So this was another issue there.
Wait, I don't understand. They deny what?
They deny that they get the money. So,
oh, like they want to be paid a second time.
Yeah, for the second time. And then it was another challenge for my employees to managing of how, keeping the records of these people that they get paid and then, like, they want a second time. So it's like we had these difficulties a lot. And
actually, I also want to go back when you said that you had to go to the bank with your male relatives and employees. Like, the bank account was in your name, right?
Yeah.
So I don't understand.
The reason to protect us to get the money from the bank and going back to the home. And at that time, there were a lot of criminal that if they find out that you have a lot of money in the bank, and when you go and coming back and forth, that it was more safe to go with a couple of men.
Right.
And then it was a more I think we didn't have the trust to the people in the bank, or we didn't trust to the environment, so we decided to have some people to protect us, to go and bank. And then the other thing, that these are issues that I have to give the money to the different schools and different people to come, and then they distributed the money to the users. And it was a challenging for us to keep record of every person. Banking was good if we could send to everybody and we could keep every records, but unfortunately, they didn't have a bank account.
So then how did you hear about Bitcoin?
So it was my former business partner, Francesco, one day sent me an article about Bitcoin, and he says, what do you think about this? And then I was reading, I was a bit skeptical, and then I said, what does it eat? And then I was reading, and then he keeps sending me the article, and he was so fascinated about Bitcoins. And he said that, Roya, I'm going to move to Bitcoins. And I said, at that time, I think the price of Bitcoin was $800 in 2013, I guess. But and then I said, yeah, it's interesting. And then when I read about the concept, it was so similar to Hawala system.
Right.
And I was like, okay, so maybe I can explain to the people easier. And then when I started to tell students that the users, how we're going to pay them, I was used the Hawala. And then I just told them that this is a new version of digital.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I love it. And it's crazy to me that the system didn't change from the 8th century until the 21st century, but they replaced it with the digital version of the same old system. That's amazing.
Yeah. But I mean, Bitcoin has a lot of features. I mean, blockchain and Bitcoin has a lot of features that they can keep the records and a lot of other things, but still, it was very easier to explain everybody.
Right.
And then I said that this is a money that you can keep it. I mean, you know, to explain to for Afghans when they don't touch something, it was difficult that they accept. But when you talking about like how the system was easier that they can understand, and we told them that they can keep their monies in digital wallet. And then and the good thing is also was in the way that we brought the Bitcoins in Afghanistan was that when the students at that time, when the females started to make money, some of the family take with force the money from them, and they couldn't buy the things that they want. It was always when they make money, someone is taken from them, and I wanted that they have a freedom of their what they make it. And of course, I was totally support them that they can support their families, but also for those who wanted to save it and wanted to keep it for their future, for their education, or for whatever they needed for their lives, it was good to keep it in their digital wallet. So we teach them about how to build the e-wallet, and then how to keep the Bitcoins there, and then that's how we brought it. And then the other challenge was that how they make it cash in case that they need it. So then my company decided to also make them cash in the rate of what was in the market. And then we also talking with a couple of the shops that if that time that if the students have to get received Bitcoin student college, them they can buy the stuff. So we talked with some of the shops that they had the clothing and uniform for the school or going outside, and they accepted in case that we immediately make for them a cash. And we discussed with them, we teach them about Bitcoin. So it wasn't going well. And then we decided also to talking about and then there was also time that we decided to building there was call it like they could there was a cart that we built it. The students who have made Bitcoins, if they wanted to buy online books, so then we could buying for them online books.
Oh, like a debit card.
Yeah. And then we received the books in our office, and then we could send that to Afghanistan and distribute it to the students. And we encouraged many of these students to keep their Bitcoins to, if they go on, like if they couldn't go to university in Afghanistan, they can study online and paying for the university in Bitcoins, or they can make it the cash later. And that was how we started in 2013 and 2014. And the platform worked very well. And then we started working in Pakistan. We started paying the users in Pakistan. We started also in Egypt. We started in Mexico, and it's growing very fast.
How many users were you?
We had more than 60,000 subscriptions, and then the user that they provide, at least I guess that 25% was trying to contribute it, but some of them really contributed and you make more money. And that's that was also another reason that we talked to rethinking to how to bring the changes, was when the user increase, the money that we had is get less and less, because we have to distribute it to many of the content contributor. Mm-hmm. And I found out that the Afghans, when they're writing the blogs, they didn't write in the quality that they get more money. So that was all a decision that we decided to making a new platform, a new thing that to educate the girls, and I started ADAD platform. And it still is in under development, and but that's my next platform that I'm going to work on that.
Okay, so we're going to break now for an important word from our sponsor, OnRamp, but we'll come back and learn more about ADAD. With so many companies vying for people's attention now, it's important to stand out from the pack. If you're starting up a new decentralized project and want to spread the word about it, check out OnRamp, a full-service creative agency that helps projects maximize awareness, gain traction, and accelerate growth. OnRamp has helped numerous organizations do everything from create their branding and identity to redesign their existing website. Plus, they've helped blockchain startups and projects. Whether you're launching a new project, repositioning an existing organization, or just want to freshen your company's look, OnRamp can come up with a tailored design project or a strategic marketing plan that ensures your lead in the market. Learn more and see examples of its work at thinkonramp.com. So, yeah, why don't you continue with ADAD? What are your goals there?
So with ADAD, we are trying to bridge the gap between education and job markets. And we are trying to educate the kids and the teenagers mostly to learn about vocational skills that created a job for them later in the market. And we are in very early stage, and we are hope that this would be my next company. I brought the platform that we built it in the US, and then we registered there, and we got the offer of investment. Hopefully, we get the money, and we can start to work on this platform.
But what did you do with the what's it, WomenX? What?
WomenX, we in end of 2014 we closed the platform,
okay.
And then we decided to just provide a training in blockchain and what the blockchain is and what the Bitcoin is. Keep continue through digital some funds
through the same organization.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then right now we train the girls just to learn about Bitcoin concept. They learn about how to make a wallet, and then they also started to learn about Ethereum, and they learn also about blockchains. So,
are you teaching them to code in addition?
Yes. In addition to some funds, we provide training in coding. They learn about how to code, and they learn about ICT. From first, they started to learn how to work with computers, because many of them, they never saw a computer or they never had access to computer. So we provide training from basic. They learn about computer, then they learn about social media. After social media, the students who are in advanced classes, then they can to learn about coding. When they learn about coding, they learn about Bitcoin concept, they learn about blockchain, they learn about Ethereum, and they learn about the concept of this. Because I believe the education and awareness is a great thing that we can promote and advocate that how our governments can use blockchain in the future. And that's how we have to start it from early ages, that teaching the kids. And they are very, very willing to learn, and they are more interested to learn. We also, traditional some funds provide financial literacy that is just started, and teaching the kids that how to manage the money from level of home to entrepreneurship. So mm-hmm. when we say that we came to advanced classes, we combine of the those students who learn about coding, we take the students to work with those who learn about financial literacy to start a businesses. So we have 100 women this year. They started to working together, or they started by themselves startups in 5 industries: agriculture, food, fashion, handcraft, and robotic and games.
Yeah. Well, so maybe you can give some examples of some of the companies, but then I want to talk about the robotics too.
Sure. We have one of the students that she came to our classes to learn about coding or also social media. She learned about ice cream. She learned how to write to make an ice cream and from Italian recipe, and she went to back home and she told her father that she wanted to start a business in ice cream, and her father was she's crazy and he didn't want to listen. For 6 months, she had a struggle to convince her father to get a machine to make him an ice cream, and then her father told her that she only can do it for her relatives. Only the family, not outside, because her father was feel that it's a shame or whatever. He didn't wanted to support her. But then she started to do it, and then the neighbors and then relatives started to order and giving for like the events and the parties that they had. She make a very, very delicious ice cream. Right now she is distributed to all the restaurants in Herat.
Wow.
And her father, brothers, and mom joined to her business. And they're working as a family business.
And they're all working for her.
All working. And she's a boss.
Love it.
Yeah. And then we have another student in agriculture. Her father had a big farms, but her father had a struggle to how to make money with the farms that they had and agriculture business. And her daughter, Parvana, she's coming to her classes and she learned about the business class and how to make the business plan and marketing and accounting and everything. And she also learned about how to coding. So she came to her father and she told about her business idea. Her father also didn't want to listen to her. And then she reached to her teacher, and the teacher convinced her father came to the classes and listened to her pitch. And then her father, for the first time, listening to her daughter's pitch of the business. And the ego of the man that, you know, that never, listening to the daughters, her father was really, impressed with her daughter. And it has never come to his mind that her daughter capable of this. And she can do it. She can be like a son. And now her father changed all of his business based on what her daughters suggest her. And now not only they dry the Spanish and they make a packet and they bring it to market. It was interesting that no one has come to their mind that they can do dry the Spanish and make money. And this is too brought from Iran. They always, for years and years, we brought from Iran, but no one thought that to do it, very simple things, and she did it. And then now she's working on her website to making online businesses into selling the dry fruits and the everything that they have in their farms to make it dry and sell it out.
Wow. So going back to the robotics, I also know that you sponsored that girls' robotics team that made so much news recently, but it almost didn't happen. Tell the story of the obstacles they faced and how they overcame them.
Sure, and Afghanistan team, we started about robotic in end of the 2016 when the president of our school ball contacted me, and he told me about the amazing program that he has, and he wanted to do the first Olympic game in D.C., and he asked me if I know a team of the teenagers at high school that they can participate from Afghanistan. So I started really research about that to finding this team, but I couldn't, and it was difficult. And then I said, oh, well, I have all the programs in my school, so why shouldn't I start a team of the girl to come for robotics? Because everyone thought at that time robotics for boys. So I made it a we made it a tech test exams from 150 students with we talk 22 and then get 20, then 15 students to come to our program. But the problem was when we started, we had a problem of the training, because many of these kids didn't know about robotic, and some of them, they a little bit know about the very simple concept of robotic. And the other challenges of that, the families talk their daughters out of the programs because they say that first they don't want to let their girls go to US and then what robotic it means. So they talk it. Only six families remain. And then we had problem with electricity, internet connections, and of course, as again, with the training and trainer. And then in the March of 2017, when first global some robotic kids stay in our custom. So custom didn't want to give the robot. Kids, because they have never saw something like this, came to Afghanistan, and they say that it might be danger, maybe it's come to the wrong hands and be ISIS use it against the government, so they didn't want to give to us. And then we continue to talk with them, and we brought all the documents and show them, but didn't work, they didn't care. We told them that it's a competition. When they hear that it's a female team, so they didn't care at all at that time, so they didn't want to give off their butt. So it's 3 months to stay in with them.
This was just the components to build a robot.
Yes, wow. It was a. Then we had these challenges, and then the girls went for the first time to do the interview in the U.S. Embassy, and unfortunately, with the respect of the decision of the consular, they were rejected. And the entire team rejected, and they came back, and we talked with Joseph Sek, and then he talked with the State Department, and then they says, okay, we will give another chance to the girls to come for the second time. And then, and meanwhile, we still continue to ask the government to give us the robotic kits that we can work with that. And then they didn't. So then the girls started to working with the handmen, the stuff with the cartoon, plastic, and this stuff to building their own small robot to learn how to work. They build small cars, they build a train, they build for themselves to dry hair. And then the building is a small service, and to motivate to keep continuing. And then they invited for the second time interview, and unfortunately the second time was in the middle, the appointment was at a time that if you remember it was the early of June, and there was an attack in Kabul. There was a protest that going on. It was so bad. It was 3 days after. It was three times attack. And then there was a protest in the streets, and the security wasn't good at all. And the families didn't want to let the girls to come at that time. And then many of these girls, again, crying and asking, begging their families to allow them for the second chance. At least they have opportunity to come and present their robots in this competition. But at the end, the family allowed for one day. We brought the kids and, to Kabul, and then we sent them to embassy with the hope that at least a few of them get accepted. But unfortunately, again, everyone's rejected. And it was quite upsetting to see that our entire team rejected.
Was the embassy's reason?
Well, there was a couple of things. They don't tell exactly the reason, but there was a couple of things. One is that the limited number of the B1, B2 for Afghan citizens. And then second, that there was another concern is that maybe the girls staying in the United States. So, which we believe that these kids were under the age of 18. They couldn't speak English, and then they had a problem of the family. It was very difficult to get their family's permission to come for 1 week. And in any case, the girls back, and they were very upset, but disappointed with the decision. But then the girls decided to build their robot in any way. They wanted to send their robot. So they built the robot during the Ramadan. And then before 8, they complete the robots, and then they send it to the U.S. And then we're trying to find another team of Afghan-Americans here to be representative of them. But in meanwhile, we started to also, when we find out that we are only one of two teams in 163 countries that they get, we are one of two countries that denied the visa, we very get upset that. Because my students, there was a Fatima, says that I always thought Americans are our friends because of 15 years of relationship with the United States, and what United States and other international community did for us, like to in terms of women empowerment, in terms of the education for women, in terms of the women rights and democracy. So we couldn't believe that our team of a girl couldn't come here, but our new birds could come in, like Pakistan, Iran, Sudan, all of them could come in, but our team couldn't get it.
So, but then,
we started to talk with the press and we are very, very thankful. The first magazine wrote it was Forbes, the first one, and then after that, a lot of other media and the press contacted us, and we continued to talk with them, and then I think it was power of the media.
So they covered it. Finally, story. President Trump felt pressure.
Exactly.
Okay.
They made these stories, and then the congressman Joe Carty and Susanna, they started to also write a petition that get 53 other congressmen signature that to ask pharmacy department to give us the visa, and then it was just when I saw that article, I said, oh, something's going to be happen. It was a week before, and we didn't get any preparation. We didn't know what's gonna happen. And then the next day, President Trump approved that the girls can come here.
And then afterward, the reaction in Afghanistan was a little bit different than what you expected. What was that?
Yes, and when the time that we didn't get the visa and we started to do press, and everyone's talk about it, many of the press wrote about and showing the girls, and even Senator Bernie Sanders wrote in his Facebook, and Senator Shaheen's, and like everyone's talk about that, but my government and my people get so silent and they didn't talk about this. And we tried to approach them and ask them to just say one a few sentences that they are proud of the girls. It doesn't matter if they didn't get the visa, just to create a hope for other girls and other families that we can continue the STEAM program in Afghanistan. And unfortunately, it didn't work. But when President Trump approved, and the first person who recognized us as the Afghanistan team was Afghan ambassador in DC. I'm very, very thankful to him, and he wrote that he's proud of our team, and he came to airport, and he came, and I think also a deputy on the Secretary of the State Department also joined, and then yeah, the girls when came here for to the airport, when they arrived, they just surprised with all of this media and all the attention everyone's coming. And I think that was quite very, very proud moment for Afghans. Or I think it's supposed to changing. In like for centuries, women's ability was ignored. Not only women, even our voice get ignored by our community, our societies, our government. And but now, no, it didn't. And then when the girls back, President Ashraf Ghani is on the car, and they meet with President Ashraf Ghani and First Lady. They meet with Chief Executive Dr. Abdullah.
Oh, wow.
They meet with former President Karzai. They meet with the ministers. They meet with the parliament representative. And everyone's happy and proud of them. And it was for the first time that the girls from Afghanistan participated in the science and technology.
Mm.
It's something that it never happened in centuries in the past.
Right.
And and it was, I mean, I feel that, oh my God, something's changed. They are yet become as a symbol of hope, but they become as a symbol of unity. And these girls bring a light in the heart of the Afghans. Of course, we got a lot of threats by conservative, but I see also the men in our community, especially in Herat, they jump in and they stand with the girls. And it's never happened in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, if a woman get threats by local Taliban or by Taliban or conservatives, usually you can see less people wants to be involved to support. And but for these girls, we saw that it's happening.
Yeah, and it's interesting that it was a 180, like, just over such a brief time period.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, I was, like, surprised in seeing, reading the comments and reading that how many Afghans made support. And they said that they are proud of these girls. And the great thing is that I feel that now our leaders, our people, believe the women's ability in the science and other technology. So this is very important for us. And now I hope that they hear our voice a lot, not only for the female, the young girls, but also for youths, for men, for the boys as well, to give them an opportunity that they can change their lives, and they can design created things that they can change their lives and their community. So this is very important.
So I want to go back to Bitcoin. I know you're not using it right now. Why not? And tell us what you're thinking about maybe a token.
Well, I actually, I personally use the Bitcoins. I invest on the Bitcoins and we do the trades with the Bitcoins.
Like, what do you use it for? To, like, pay your sister?
I mean, with my sister Lahe and I do the trades, and then using the Bitcoin and Ethereum, we invest it.
Are you doing, like, when personally, you say trades, you mean, like, you're trading?
Yeah, trading. Oh, wow. My sister doing it.
Oh, that's funny.
She's doing it, and she was also the first teacher to teach the kids how to work with Bitcoins. And we lost, but I have to say that with the Bitcoin, we lost a lot of the money as well, because the price goes and up and down. But now, but we believed on the Bitcoin, so we keep some of our Bitcoins. And but now we decided that to working on new concept, because this woman who started their business, so what's the next for them? They have to sell their product. And still, the banking has this issue, and it's very difficult to buying and selling to the online banking system in Afghanistan with a lot of bureaucracy and procedure that they have. So we are going to start a new platform, is online marketplace, that this woman, all the skills that we have in our program, plus the other business women, that they can participate here. Participate in the platform, and they can sell their goods online. And buying the goods online, and they will use the Bitcoins in this platform.
Oh, wow.
And we also providing training. It's not only for just sell and buy. This platform also provided training for the females about what's the markets and what's new in the markets, and all the news of the about the business marketing and everything that we provided. And then this woman have a platform that they can communicate it. Do business together, do partnership, or do meetup places. So all this is going to happen to this marketplace. And it's good thing that to coming here at Blockchain Summit at Holland, such a lucky I am.
Yeah.
Is that to hearing the others, like everyone's here has a beautiful story. You know, they have very inspiring story that they're working in different technology and they're using the blockchain and Bitcoins for different industries. And I got some of idea that we wanted to implement in our marketing place or Afghan marketplace, that hopefully when I back and I'm trying to make some partnership and visually or before that, we will be able to make this happen in Afghanistan, because we can simply use for giving loan, social loan to the women, to be P2B in this platform, that the woman can start their businesses and get a loan with
A loan, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then we can also use the blockchain for technology of insurance for this woman, so they can send the products outside of the US, outside of Afghanistan, but using the insurance to for the protection of their jewelries or whatever they build it.
Right.
So there are lots of the technology that exists in blockchain that sometimes we don't aware, but in such kind of the amazing summits, we can learn about others and how we can collaborate it.
Right, so but you were saying also, because you were saying that you might use Bitcoin, but then you also said some people suggested to you to use your own token.
We went to a Singular University 2 weeks ago, and I talked with the students there, and we discussed about this platform, and some of them suggest that why you don't use your own coins, building your own coins. So we are working on that as well, to see that if we can building our own coins in this platform, or we using the Bitcoin. So this is two things that we are still trying to figure out, that which one is better for us. Bitcoin has a value, so that's the important about Bitcoins. It has a value. It could be for anything that we can use that, but if we have our own coins, it's also much easier, and it would be coins to support women, and that would be in the platform, and we can easily work with that. But we have to work on the concept and figure out that what is the best for us to use. And I have to mention that its marketplace is not going to be only for Afghanistan, but it will be as a pilot project for Afghanistan, because this digital SIM funds has programmed Mexico, Brazil, and other countries that we wanted to try to make it right. I mean, bring it to the other countries as well to help the women that they are in the business. For this is mostly for the small businesses and medium-sized businesses that they can support them.
Well, this is amazing. I'm so excited that I got to meet you and to learn about your work.
Thank you.
So where can people learn more about you and also get in touch with you?
Digital SIM Funds is our website. We have to update it, but it's our website that they can learn about our projects.
And that's digitalcitizenfund.org?
Yes, dot okay. org. And then they can find me through Twitter. My email address is there, and I'm always trying to respond to email fast. And we have a Twitter account, we have a website that they can contact with us. And I wanted to get the opportunity to announce one of our projects to support Digital SIM Fund. It's a new initiative that we started. It's called Digital Citizen Brew. And we created a coffee and a tea that we bring a spice from. We buying the spice, special spice like saffron from Afghanistan and from our students that are working on the farms. And we brought it, we will bring it to US, and then we bring this coffee from South America. We made a very delicious blending of this formula of the coffee. It's very good for depression, for the health, for the heart, and as well, it's a unique product that supports education and technology access for developing countries that women have the ability to learn about new skills, and they can get your financial independence.
Okay, great. Well, that's so exciting.
Thank you.
I will check it out. Thank you, Roya, for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. If you're interested in learning more about Roya, check out the show notes, which are available on my Forbes page, forbes.com/sites/Laura Shin. Unchained comes out every other Tuesday. Please share the podcast with friends and on social media. And remember to review, rate, and subscribe to it in iTunes or your preferred platform. Thanks again for listening.